Are we ready for noise?
Sure.
Okay. I like it when you remind me that we've skipped over something.
Oh, no.
Because that's what we need to have you do.
I'll let Scott will cue that up. And we gave you the two longer ones first because we thought everyone would be, and it seemed to fit the schedule. So, but moving right along, there's some straightforward parts to this one particularly. The sound assessment is this brief, just a brief review. There's no undue adverse impact due to sound. That's what we're looking to meet that requirement. And you're first directed to, as the attorney for the applicant was telling you earlier, she got into the Eastbrook issue here as well. You've got the MDEP rules, 375.10, and those, when both our LURCS consultant, Warren Brown with NRAD, and Scott Bodwell for the applicant, they both, just to jump ahead here and try to move along a little bit, they both concur they're met. And actually, we can even, as we go along further, you'll see that they are under those amounts. What Chapter 375.10 has in it is when a municipality adjacent, when they have an enacted wind energy facility ordinance, or they have a sound ordinance, that it has to do two things. One, it has to be numeric. It has to be quantifiable, and that is a numeric definition. The other is that it can't be less than 5 dBA restrictive. So if it has those two things, which the Eastbrook one does, then the language in 375.10 is will consider. Doesn't really tell you a lot about consider, but it says consider. And doesn't say shall, it says will. Or doesn't say may, it says will. So what the staff did back during February, first of all, Eastbrook passed their ordinance in January 19th, 11, prior to the application coming in. The application went strictly by the DEP rules. There was a statement in there that there was an Eastbrook ordinance, and there was a statement about it not being applicable from the applicant's standpoint. But the staff asked right off the bat in reviewing the application and understanding the consider part to get the information in the record, asking Bodwell to do the analysis based on the Eastbrook ordinance, and also to ask our consultant to do the same thing so that we could, in my sense of what consider would mean, we'd be able to give you that comparison to look at as the basis of starting to consider. So I just wanted to kind of cue up what then that was readily provided, and you'll find throughout pretrial testimony rebuttals from the applicant and the intervener, particularly the applicant, they continually put the framework of the Eastbrook ordinance in a perspective, which you heard earlier this morning. The reason I paraphrased right now is because I'm going to go through the slides a little quicker just to move ahead. Scott, we may skip some, but some will jump right out. Very briefly, the Chapter 375.10, it sets hourly limits for nighttime and daytime. Just so you have that right in front of you here. Short duration, repetitive sounds, that's the SDRS that you'll see the abbreviation for. That would be, that's all numerically calculated. When the blades come round, there's a bit of a dBA shift thump there. These are all protected locations. There's three. There's two in Eastbrook, in the Sugar Hill area. That's when we drove up through that during the site visit. Kate Donahoe's and Fernandez is the other one there. And then also the third one is that the Nature Conservancy has a parcel down to the south and the west, and those are in the listed ones to take into consideration. But again, all of the under the DEP rules, all of those standards are met. For short SDRS, for the hourly limits, the tonal sounds, those are that both consultants under both analyses find those, I can only paraphrase them possibly as lower tones, that they are not sensed at the protected locations. There is a, the DEP rules do take care of noise, construction noise in the evening or the daylight, non-daylight hours. And they set measurement and reporting requirements. Scott, yes, we'll go there. We can continue. We can continue, really. I'll get back into Eastbrook a little bit more. I wanted to, and you have this on, now you'll start to see on the bottom right-hand corner for your notebook. If you want to, you'll see there, that's where these are. And I just leave them up on the screen. That's a representation of the DEP hourly sound limits from a protected location. So you can see the house, 500 feet from the house, 45 dBA at night, 55 during the day. It's 75 dBA at the project boundary all the time. These are the standards that have been met. And it's 55 dBA at all hours of the day and night. The difference that starts to come in, and this I'll say it now while we have this up before us, with the Eastbrook Ordinance. The Eastbrook Ordinance, which is based, by the way, on the state's Planning Office's model ordinance for wind energy facilities. Some sections of the ordinance, I'll just say that, it's based on that. What Eastbrook has done, you see the parcel boundary, just imagine that that's not the project area on the right-hand side, but you go from the parcel boundary, they go 660 feet from the parcel boundary, and that's the measurement location, where the DEP has the measurement location at 500 feet from the residence. Or in the case of Fernandez, for instance, where the house is 35 feet, I believe, from the parcel boundary, you take the measurements at the boundary, at the actual parcel boundary. So if your house is closer than 500 feet to your in the direction of the turbine to the boundary, then it's taken there. But again, the Eastbrook is 660 feet from the parcel boundary. That's where the reading is taken from. We can go ahead, Scott. Yeah, this is here on page 8, probably, and I wanted to do that, have that in there because it gives you the overall. As I was describing, the two locations in Eastbrook, protected locations, they are there on the left at the Sugar Hill area. The other one down to the right, where the arrow is indicated there, is the Nature Conservancy parcel. And this map actually uses contours of dBA readings. So you can see where 45 hits from the turbine strings. And then you get down toward the locations. You can read that a little closer on your map there. All right, now this is an inset close-up of the two locations in Eastbrook. From the... I was correct. I had been saying nearest turbine, but it's really it's a calculation that's when the modeling is done, it's based on topography, maximum conditions downwind, these kinds of things. So the modeling takes into consideration the nearest turbines, not necessarily the nearest turbine, but this one here, the distance that you see on the map there is from the nearest turbine to the residence on the protected locations. And those P1 and P2, they're going to come up again as we discuss Eastbrook. So that's why I wanted to. We may come back to this or just keep a thumb on that page. I already kind of pointed out that the modeling is done with based on full operation, downwind conditions, all of the factors that would create the loudest sound level or the highest sound level in those two cases. Under the DEP, here's a slide that has the it's approximately 5 dBA under the 45 nighttime limit on the lot line of the nearest dwelling. That's that Fernandez's P2. That's why I pointed out that says lot line, because it's not 500 feet from the residence, it's the lot line. Down below, the daytime at P1 is eight below the DEP standard. Okay, Scott. All I'm going to say is both Bodwell and our consultant in tonal sounds and are met under all of the standards. The SDR, if you have a short duration repetitive sound, there'll be a 5 dBA penalty that's added right to it at the protected location. And the reason I'm pointing this out now is because in the Eastbrook ordinance, when I show you the comparison, there's a second 5 dBA penalty that's added that's assessed by the planning board. And what we're really kind of queuing you up here for in these comparisons is what parts of the Eastbrook ordinance will you possibly consider if you do, and looking and breaking them down. It's not just the hourly levels. It's the tonal, the SDRS, and you'll see it also involves daytime construction noise, which differs from the DEP rule. Okay, Scott. I pretty much have paraphrased our consultant that he concurs on DEP. Yes. Okay, this is not in your book. The one you have in your book is a little more involved. But this sums up what I have just been pointing out to you. DEP rules versus the Eastbrook Ordinance. The other thing in the Eastbrook Ordinance is that the DEP rule doesn't have is there's a 2-mile sound limit at 35 dBA. And both consultants agree that the project will be met if that, I mean, that's far enough away that is not an issue for the project. But that's not something you'll find in the DBA. The measurement, typically what it seems the other projects previous to this have had is 1 year of measurements to confirm that the modeling that for the application actually happened, what happened is what happens in the field. And you'll see the Mr. Bodwell, it's 4 plus or minus dBA under the modeling, and that seems to be what's happening. They were referring to Stetson. You can see that in there. That was not contested by Warren Brown. But in Eastbrook, their ordinance requires testing the first year, testing the second year, plus every 3 years thereafter for the ordinance. So you see, considering and applying the ordinance begins to be a consideration here. The measurement location I pointed out to you earlier is 660 feet from the parcel, not 500 feet from the residence. The hourly limits are more restrictive at 50 during the day versus 55 with the DEP. I'm referring to Eastbrook now. And 40 during the day versus 45 during the day. Night. Excuse me. Thank you. I'll jump ahead in a bit here, and you'll see the two locations in Eastbrook are nearly met at those levels, but we'll get into that specifically. Back up just one more time, Scott. I just wanted to make sure I reiterate. On the SDRS, that's that 5 dBA event penalty I was telling you about at the protected location. But when the Eastbrook ordinance has, it's the same, but there's an extra 5 dBA, and that's a decision that the planning board makes based on what they refer to as the annoying sounds impact on public health and welfare. And when we come back to quantifiable, Warren Brown and the applicant both challenge whether, raise an interest, a thought about whether or not that is actually quantifiable. If you take something, bring it to a planning board, people make a decision, does that take it out of the realm of numeric? And I'll just leave it at that. When the measurements take place in Eastbrook, the town needs to be notified 30 days ahead. The town officials have the option to be there while the measurements are going on. And there's none of that in the DEP. I just want to stop at this point. I know I've dived into some detail here, but we've had to do that in order to kind of get to the analysis and questions. So all of that is over. But if there's any, yes, sure. Yeah.
Do you have a sense on the reporting requirements that the more stringent reporting requirements by Eastbrook, was that based on an assumption of beginning reporting at full build-out of these 19, or was it every 2 and 3 years because they felt that it would take that long to get a full build-out of the facility as you know, described?
Yeah, when operations start, that first year of operations, Eastbrook wants the measurements taken. They want it in the second year, and every 3 years thereafter, where DEP, my reading through other applications, and we have that with Lurkwood Stetson, it's typically 1 year. The testing goes on for a full year. There's several reporting.
Right. I understand that time frame. I was just wondering if you knew what the motivation of the more intensive reporting was, and was it because of an assumption that the first year there would not be the full complement of 19 turbines operating, whereas by the third there might be, and therefore there might be a different assessment of noise.
Okay. I'm sorry I misunderstood you at first, Sally. That's actually a good question. I'm afraid to speculate on what their intent was, and I'm not aware in any of our reports that was really laid out. We can keep an ear for it, looking into that. I've already kind of, in the analysis, I've let you know about this quantifiable. Here's the definition right in front of you. It's on page 23, but it's brief, and this is all they give us. A numerical limit governing noise from developments that has been duly enacted by ordinance by a local municipality. Numerical doesn't really get into scientific methodologies and et cetera, but it says numerical limit, and that's what we have to work with from the definition in the DEP rule and also the definition in the Eastbrook rule ordinance. So you have that similar. A lot of the parts are the same. The things that gets different is that protected location setback. Next, Scott. This is where I said earlier, when you take a look, you know, with the planning board, with the second penalty, there's a question of whether or not that's numeric. Next. Again, the quantifiable. Next, we'll just turn. I've really already covered this, so keep going. So I want to try to save everybody time. So we're really getting to the question, and if I recall, that is the question. And that is, what portions, if any, of the Eastbrook Ordinance should be applied to the project? And obviously, staff would need to know why, as you chose that. And I can answer any questions related to your thoughts on this matter. Can I just add one thing that of interest? This project, and I just want to say this because it was brought up earlier, this project is the first time for LURC that this has come up, as you know. And I spent a lot of time calling over to the DEP. This has not yet come up for the DEP, and I was amazed that that hadn't, because they are in a more urban areas. But as, yes, I'll just say that. So you have that reference. Yeah.
I can summarize my feelings where I feel for P1 and P2, and if they were that close to replicating their hometown ordinance, I would like to see that somehow guaranteed for those two individuals. I don't know how anybody else feels, but if it requires toning down the two closest turbines, 1 and 2, or the wind thing, like when the wind blows from the east, tone them down so that they hit the numbers. That's my personal. Just and through a maybe a 3-year period of measurements with all the turbines operating under different conditions to make sure those two individuals are as close to the Eastbrook ordinance as possible. I don't know if that's possible or not. I don't know how everybody else feels about it.
Anybody else want to? I guess I'm inclined the same way. I think this is a community that went to the effort to develop and enact a noise ordinance and seems reasonable to base them. And so I think we should certainly consider it. And I guess I'm equally concerned about the two residents. And I think there's specific parts of the ordinance that we might select as applicable.
Yes, and we can go through that list.
That's what you're probably looking for.
And I'm realizing that to keep the slides brief, I had one of them that was in the background had to do with the sound levels according to the Eastbrook ordinance that were done by both consultants. The location of P2. Scott, can you go back?
Is it right there?
It's if you go back to that one that had the you could look at both of the houses in the distance over. I'll give you the slide number. Or not. Stuff I don't have right in front of me. Yes, this one here. If just for a moment. So if you're on page 7, or you want to follow this for a sec. P2 is the one up above. That would meet at the Eastbrook ordinance, at the more restrictive level, at 660 feet from the model now, at 660 feet from the parcel boundary. It meets at the residence. It meets 660 feet from the parcel boundary. Both consultants agree. On P1, 660 feet from the parcel boundary, I believe it's about a tenth. It's a fraction of a decibel under. And under what the more restrictive limit will be. The point that was put forth by the applicant is that is within the modeling, within the percentages of the modeling that they're finding run 4 to 5 dBA less than the models. The models are very conservative. I think the point that was brought up about the 3-year, you know, maybe more than just 1 year. This is something that this would it's something that we've noted.
Can I just make a point? I think it may be worthwhile if you are willing, just going through each provision and just touching base with you on them to make sure we know which ones to include, and particularly the first one about. The where to measure the sound, because I think it has pretty significant public policy implications about whether you're measuring sound on the resident's property at the edge of their property or whether you're measuring it on to an adjacent landowner's property and could even be on the project parcel in the future. That's not the case here, but that could be the case that you're extending protection onto the applicant's parcel for a nearby resident. And so I think it's just important to do that mindfully and with some thinking behind it.
On that, Samantha, I have a question for you on that point. We're talking about and the question has to do, are we talking about just existing development or potential future development? And something that I noticed when you had the wording up there in the DEP statute that referred to, specifically consideration of a municipal ordinance or whatever, and it said numerical values from developments, as if we're talking existing developments. I mean, that sort of jumped out at me for the first time as I was reading it up on the... But anyway, do you have...
I will... Right off the bat, I would like to answer the first part, which is
okay.
A good question. The DEP rules that you have, that you work with, and the Eastbrook Ordinance, they both define, they don't really take care of undeveloped parcels. I mean, I don't mean to weigh my opinion in it. They do not apply to undeveloped parcels. However, if a building permit's in place, or if there is a approved subdivision that's in place, then yes, they would. And I've just picked out two. There's probably a couple of other things in there. You know, transient, like a tent or something like that, that's not considered.
So do we have any of those other things that we're concerned about, or is it just these two, the ones that you've outlined here? I guess
In terms of the Eastbrook Ordinance, we were looking at their. They have the distance from the protected location, which differs. They include construction daytime noise, which the
right.
My question was,
do we have any like building permits?
Oh no, we don't.
Subdivisions or any of those things you mentioned.
That's correct.
So we're really just narrowly focusing on these couple of structures.
Yes,
residences.
These are the closest in Eastbrook,
everywhere
in Eastbrook, yes. And there is land between these, and as you can see, undeveloped land between these and the township boundary. There are no residences are developing on that are regulatory.
Okay.
I think what Sam was asking, should we extend the Eastbrook ordinance to the property line and not just focus on the residents. So,
right.
I'm inclined to say the residents for this particular case. But then I think one of the ladies said she wanted to build a camp closer to the project, but I don't think there's anything official in place. But and we can't deal with the hypothetical, I don't think. So.
Yeah. The other question I have with just what we're doing here is from has to do from an enforcement standpoint. I mean, how are we clear about, are we enforcing or monitoring DEP standards, or are we monitoring Eastbrook standards? And I'm assuming that has to be maybe spelled out in the permit.
Yes, and you raise a good question. I did bring up earlier the implications of the full ordinance. If you were to say we will apply the ordinance, then all of a sudden the enforcement aspect comes in where, you know, you're the first ones to have to take a look at sorting this out. Where I think what Samantha just suggested, if we went through that list, that might focus us right now. And
good idea.
And I'll keep the enforcement part of it. That's why just wholesale adopting the ordinance should be. This should be thought of carefully.
also, earlier there was a reference that a good portion of the Eastbrook was just adopted from the state.
Yes.
Okay, so when we reach any part of it that isn't, could you let us know?
Yes, that's what we're able to do. Smith, where was that other chart? Yes, we will. And we're going through page 23 in your notebook. Yeah.